Hey guys, welcome back to the Culture Podcast. It's your girl DJ Sims and I'm here with DJ Limelight. And today we are super, super excited because we have got an amazing guest that you guys have definitely been seeing all over mainstream TV right now, an apprentice candidate. We have got Verdi Mazaria with us.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yo, thank you guys for having me on here, man. This is my first podcast.
Wait, that's not enough clapping. Keep clapping.
Nah. Appreciate it, man.
I just want to let everyone know, obviously, my dog's here. He's moving a bit mad. I think he's gassed because he sees you on the TV.
And the maddest thing is, man, the dog's here and I've got a massive phobia of dogs as well, man. Worst timing for us. But it's all right, man. We can get going from here, man.
I feel guilty.
Nah, it's good, man. It's good.
Blame Sims because it was her idea.
Nah, it's not my idea.
She wanted to meet my dog Pablo today, so I brought her down.
Sick, man. But now
she goes to me, you love dogs. So I was like,
Sims, you did me dirty there. I'm not going to lie, man. But yeah,
you know,
man.
It's so dope to have you up on there. Sims said, you know, you was the, or have been the life and the party of The Apprentice 2024, man. How do you feel being out and being in this situation right now?
You know what, it's been like such a great experience, the whole thing. It's really opened a lot of doors, and obviously winning the show is what you want to get out of it, number one. But the secondly is exposure, because being on the biggest business show in the UK, one of the biggest shows in the UK full stop, and having that platform is amazing. So, you know what I mean? It's been crazy. It's been a good ride. And you know what, the support and in the end ended up being really good. So it's going well so far.
So if we're just going to go back to your journey before The Apprentice, because obviously everyone mainly knew you as a DJ, like obviously we connected before The Apprentice, you know, we've seen each other at shows, and I think anyone who knew you before purely knew you as a DJ. But I know there's so much more to your journey, your career.
You've been at the BBC Asia Network.
Yeah, been on the playlist as a music producer. And you know what it is, like, I think me going on this show was to do exactly that, make sure people know that I'm not just a DJ, or I'm not just a music producer, there's a lot more to it. And so yeah, a lot of people know me as a DJ, but me going on this show, I wanted to show there's a lot more to that. I come from a background of business. The family business that we currently run is a logistics company, transport logistics company. Oh, we own class 2, class 1 trucks, and I also do digital marketing for the past year and a half. I've not really launched it as a business before, but it's something that I do, and it's, you know what I mean, it's something that I just kind of live with and I work on. So me going on this show, I really wanted people to know that Verdi Mazaria isn't just a DJ or isn't just a producer. There's a lot more to it. So that's kind of a little bit about what I do and what I am.
Yeah. So what made you kind of apply to the show? So obviously, I actually saw a screenshot of you saying, like, back in, I don't know when it was, like 2016,
yeah.
Oh, one day I'm going to be on The Apprentice. And then like fast forward to 2024, you were on. So what kind of made you apply? And obviously, how did you use all of your kind of skills to think, okay, cool, I'm good enough to be on The Apprentice? And obviously you applied and you went on. So what was that process like?
It's crazy, like, I've always loved the show, so I always watched The Apprentice. And one day, that 2016, I remember the exact night, it was a late night, and I was just thinking, you know what, I believe in energies, I believe in manifestation. I wanted to put it out there. I wanted people to know that, you know what, one day I can see myself on that show. So 2016, I was 17 at the time, so I always loved the show, and I knew I had the capabilities to be on that show one day. So every year, so I've got this thing on my phone, on my notes, I got things that I know I want to do in my life. People like to call it like a bucket list, but I just like calling it just tasks, because I know I want to do it. It's not something that, oh, if it happens, it happens. It's, no, I want to do it. And going on The Apprentice was one of the things, and it was in my notes. And every year I would think about applying, but I just never felt ready. In January last year, so 2023, I woke up one morning, I saw an ad about applying to Apprentice, and I thought, you know, when you feel something in you, I thought, this is the year. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to apply. And I knew I was old enough to understand business and experienced enough. My profile as a musician and an artist was getting bigger, so I had that backing as well. And I know that I've got the confidence and I've got the charisma to go on a show like that, because at the end of the day, as much as it is a business show, it's a business entertainment show as well. So woke up one day, I applied, and it was honestly the hardest stages and interviews ever. Like, I've worked for the Big Four, so EY, to do auditing, and that's very, very competitive to get into. And The Apprentice, I think, is over 80,000 applicants. Oh, only 18 God. Get selected. So you got to have something about you. So did the did the whole interview process, and it's funny, like, so for the people who actually watch Apprentice, you know, in Task 11, they do interviews with Claude, and they do it with sometimes Karen or these other people, Linda, etc. And we actually, in our first interview stages, we have to do something similar, not with them guys, but with someone else about your business plan. Just really to show that, do you know your business and have you got the business knowledge to even get on the show?
Yeah.
And it's not just business skills, it's also mental skills they test you on. They test your mental health. Are you capable enough to go on the show? Because the backlash you get off shows like this is massive. After doing all those tests, I got a phone call one day, and it was from the production, and they said, Verdi, are you free tomorrow? We just need to go on a call with you. I was like, okay, cool. And at that moment, I knew I got it, because they wouldn't do that and then call me the next day and tell me I didn't get it, because yeah. That would have been brutal. So called me the next day, and they go, Verdi, we'll be honoured to have you on The Apprentice. And that's why I did it. So basically, to answer your question, the reason why I did it is I knew it was time. I knew I'd go on that show, and I was looking for investment and a mentor. And what other better mentor than Lord Sugar, who's one of the biggest business people in the UK. And it was for a company, which is a Dubai events company. So that's the business plan that I was actually pitching to Lord Sugar. So,
yeah, yeah, you mentioned that as well. So like, but being a DJ, being known for being a DJ, being a producer, all of that kind of stuff, the more creative aspect of music, and ending up on a show like that, did you think that far ahead? Did you think like, I'm going to go on this show and then I've got a plan off the back of that? Because that... I can see that being the case, but like, it can go two ways. Because I remember Sims interviewed, I don't know why I'm laughing, but like, you interviewed two guys off Love Island. I don't even remember them.
Yeah.
He doesn't watch Love Island like that.
Yeah. No, but I met the guys.
Yeah.
And off mic and off camera, they were just moaning about everything. That they didn't get enough exposure, they didn't get enough opportunity, get enough of this and that. But Love Island, I guess, is a lot different to Apprentice. But like someone like yourself, I've always seen you as a smart guy. I've always seen you as someone that's got like a plan behind what you do when you're releasing music, or when I've seen you at events. You know, we've always got along in that level as well. So it's like, when I saw you on Apprentice, I knew straight away that Verdi must have a plan off the back of this show, because he's got too much going on not to. And what is that plan at this moment?
Very true, right? And you know what it is? This is the first time you're saying it, and I'll say it. Obviously, I want you to win the show. That's why you go on it. You want the £250,000, and you want the mentorship from Lord Sugar, because he's got the biggest and the best connects, not even in the UK, in the world, right? My business was meant to be in Dubai, and I know he's got big connects out there. But end of the day, you always got to think of a plan B, and you always got to think of other ways to make the most of your situations. And I knew, look, Verdi, how can you benefit off this if you don't win? For me, it's watch time. It's being a big character. For me, it's putting myself in every situation. I knew, and I'll tell you this straight, I knew I was going to be project manager in the first task the moment I applied. Nah. I knew it. I knew I was going to do it, because when that task finished, the one name they remembered was Verdi. I was trending on Twitter. I got up to number 7 trending on Twitter. And that was all calculated, because I knew what I was doing on that show to make sure people know who I am. But that doesn't mean that I'm not there for the business aspect of it. I'm just confident enough to put myself out there with my business knowledge and be the character and still come across well. So all that plan and all those eyes and the eyes that are growing, and I'm talking not hundreds of thousands, like millions that are on my profile right now, looking at my analytics, like I'm thinking this is crazy, is all to come off it and launch my digital marketing agency, which is Aventus Social, and keep that there. And that's to show my corporate side. But I'm also trying to build a brand. Verdi Mazzorio is a lot more than just a DJ, just a music producer. It's more of people knowing who I am to capitalize that with that in the future. Hosting events, DJing, bookings, production, bargaining power. Like, you guys know in the music industry, like, if you don't have X amount of followers, if you don't have X amount of views, or if you don't bring something to the table, no one's going to give you the time of the day.
I think it's more like, about like when people look at you and they're like, oh, that's that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, 100%.
Because, you know, I've had that for years. Like, I've been doing it for a long time without blowing my own trumpet. But like, man has had that kind of fame factor in my career. Luckily, I've seen it with Sims since she's been in the game. Like, people get gassed and that helps the bookings. It helps the 100%. Demand. And all that stuff. And you must be getting it a lot right now. Mm. I mean, next man let you into his toilet. Just because you're
very bizarre. No, it's true. It's true. And like, I'm humble enough to admit, like, pre this show, I had somewhat of a name, obviously being on the network, being playlisted on my network, on the network, producing a track with Sidhu, the Who's Bad remix. Like, I was known. But I also know that I wasn't as known to have that same respect that I do have right now. Mm. And yes, like, the name Verdi Mazzari, like, I'll give you an example. I needed to book a venue. And before they knew I was on the show, it was like, minimum spend, you need to make sure that is X amount. Okay, I was like, all right, cool. I was like, just to let you know, the background that I come from is this, this, this. And then the moment that happened, it drops by 60%. Yeah. And people are like, okay, no, this person brings value. But I get it. And a lot of people get annoyed about this. They're like, oh, they don't remember me when I was small, or they don't remember me when I didn't really know anyone. But I get it. With business, you got to exchange values. One person's going to give you some sort of value, and you got to give them some sort of value.
I think it's down to demand as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, it's supply and demand. Exactly. So if the demand's there, people will
People want to know more about you right now, right?
Yeah. 100%.
But also, like, with the show, because you're going to kill me, but I didn't really watch it.
No, okay. Right? Yeah, yeah,
fair enough. I caught up on it when James forced me to.
Yeah.
He doesn't watch, like, any TVs. I'm like, well, you need to watch some.
He's a busy man.
I watch football.
Football.
And I watch the news. Okay. I'm a boring person.
All right, fair enough.
But when I see on social media, for example, Verdi Mazzari is on Apprentice, I'm, like, excited by that. Because I'm just like, that's one of the mandem.
The mandem, of course.
I feel like the three of us having a combo is like in-house. It's almost like fam.
Yes. You get me? Yeah. No, 100%.
To make you look bad normal. And vice versa. No. So we're here to support your thing. But it's like, I had to play catch up on what I was watching. And one thing Sims kept reiterating to me, and a lot of people actually, was that you're actually like the star of the show.
Yeah.
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 And you probably heard that a lot. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, 100%. I do feel like it. I feel like, when I'm on Twitter, whether it's good or bad and people are talking about me, they're talking about me. And I am the star of the show. And I'm seeing all these community pages, because there is a lot of people say, even coming into it, we were advised, don't read what's on Twitter, don't read what's on in these forum pages. But when you're in there, you just want to know, innit? Yeah. So I'm reading it, and like, the name they remember is me. And that's the type of impact I want. And me looking the way I look, having a bug, having this beard, being from a Sikh background, I want to represent Apni. I want to represent our type of people, because there's never been someone like me on that platform. And the fact that people are going around saying he's the star of the show, this is young Verdi's dream. This is something that I wanted from when I was younger, because growing up, like, I used to watch TV, and like, there used to be one turban guy on EastEnders that used to walk past, the older man. And that used to get me gassed, because I used to be like, that looks like me. But there wasn't enough representation like that. So now me being called the star of the show, looking the way I look, it means a lot to me, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that is actually a big point I wanted to touch on, because obviously you are the first turban wearing on The Apprentice. Yeah. And I think, like, that is just a whole moment in itself. Like, the representation is just there. And I feel like young Sikh boys, especially, who are probably watching the show, seeing that representation, are probably feeling more comfortable within themselves and thinking, okay, there is other people that, number one, look like them, and number two, they're on mainstream TV representing. So how does that make you feel?
Honestly, like, it's like, even you just saying it gives me like goosebumps. It's heartwarming to me. Like, when like the mandem show love, or people show love, like, I love it. But when I see parents messaging me saying, my kids watching Apprentice this year because of you, or like, I'm getting videos sent to me of like when I was fired, like, kids crying or kids getting upset or like kids really loving it. It's honestly the best thing ever, because I know me being that kid, that's what I wanted. So it really does make me happy. And the fact that I'm the person that gets to be that representation, it's a lot of pressure, but it's also good, and it satisfies me in my heart. I think it means the most to me more than anything, coming out of this process and coming out of this show.
Yeah, and I think even that representation, it's like having the right people in the right places.
Mm.
And I feel like you definitely like have helped your community get that kind of spotlight, but also you as Verdi Mazari as an individual, it's such a dope situation. But when you was applying, did that ever cross your mind? Was that something also in the back of your mind that, you know what, like, I wear a turban, you know, I'm in tune with my religion, this can go maybe not so great as well. Like, was that something that ever crossed your mind?
100%. Like, it is a thought that did come to my mind. But you know what? I'd say a lot of people feel like being an ethnic minority or looking somewhat of a way is a disadvantage. And maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, yes. But now I feel like there's more opportunities that when you do look different, you become a niche or you become an individual that people are not familiar with. And you know what? I'll say it. I feel like a lot of the reason why I was in the process as well is because of the way I look. I'll say that me being the way I look is why I got on, because not only I come with the business knowledge, the foundation, the charisma, the confidence, but I look different. And that brings in numbers. It's a business entertainment show. That brings in people to watch the show, and it brings in a community. Mm. The amount of people I've seen say, Verdi, you know what, you're fired now. I ain't going to watch the show anymore, or I ain't going to do all this kind of stuff. But to have me on there was massive. And so, yeah, it did come to my mind thinking, you know what, like, maybe I won't get on because I don't match the criteria. But the more the processes want up, by the way, I'm not talking about every industry, because there is some industries where the way you look is a problem. But in the media world, they're looking for diversity. So if you look different, or if you're from an ethnic background and you're watching this, don't be afraid to apply to whatever you want to do, because that can help you.
But did you get any backlash of any sort?
You know what? Not, you know what, they were, I'll be honest, right, the BBC and Naked, the people who actually produce Apprentice,
yeah,
so supportive, honestly, like, so obviously in the nights when I sleep, I don't sleep with my turban on, and I sleep with my little bandana bataka on, and it comes off. And in the morning, what they'll do for me, because they respected the fact of who I am, they would wake me up about 4 or 5 minutes before the cameras come in to be like, all right, Verdi, listen, the camera's going to come in 5 minutes. Like, here's the time to sort out your turban a little bit and make sure you're good and that. So then when now you see when I'm waking up, I'm a little bit more fresh because they gave me that time to get ready. And that were the things I was afraid about. They gave me time to pray. They gave me time to go down to the cinema room and put prayers on, because it means a lot to me to do that kind of stuff. And not even just the praying, even my culture stuff. So there'll be times where, like, I was in that environment, let me tell you guys, like, you can't talk to no one from the outside world. You get one phone call for 10 minutes with your family a week, and you're in there and you're around people who are against you, but they're trying to be your friends at the same time.
Yeah.
So it feels a bit crazy. So I love doing bhangra. I love dancing, right? So I do bhangra and all that kind of stuff. There were times where I just wanted to have some sort of escapism and normality. So when the guys went for a walk, because you get chaperoned and you get to go on a walk when you're in the house, I was like to one of the house people, I was like, look, can I just have like 15 minutes downstairs? I want to play bhangra music. I want to listen to just like all these dissy music, and I just want to just chill and like even dance, whatever. They go, you know what, go for it. And I did it, and that pump I got from it was amazing. So they were very accommodating to not just me and my religion, but to my values, things that made me happy. And that was a lot, and that meant a lot to me. So that's what I
think. It's very good that you made this point, because I feel like, especially online nowadays, there's a very like, this almost like, not, I wouldn't say agenda, but like people are very quick to be like very like responsive and attack like the fact that this country, and there's a big divide, and there's like this kind of racist agenda around a lot of things. But to hear that big companies that are in the media and they are bringing people like yourself onto that platform are giving you the time and space to kind of still be in touch with things that are very personal to you, that they might not even necessarily understand, but they still respect that that's important to you.
100%.
And I feel like I'm like that kind of restores hope as well.
Yeah.
In and faith into that. Actually, there are people that care about people's privacy.
Yes.
Religious beliefs, because, you know, like I said, online, it's very clear that a lot of people do feel some sort of anger towards, especially in this country, towards like big companies and places. And sometimes we're all guilty of that too. Yeah. Sometimes we feel that frustration, but it's good to hear a scenario where someone in the media, on mainstream television, is actually turning around and saying, actually, I was given the space and the time to be who I need to be.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because like, I feel
Do you think also, sorry to interrupt you, that could also be because they understand the importance of you being in full form, of being who you are, looking the way you are.
Mm.
Because they know they have to make sure that this person here is going to bring us a certain demographic that we need as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like they do certain stuff for a certain thing, but they also do have the respect, because if it was just to me, I'd get it. But like, for example, Noor, she prays 5 times a day. So there was time where we'll be in a tassel in Jersey where we had to find 9 items, and Noor would be allowed to get the taxi, stop there and do her prayers just outside and put a mat down and do her prayers and stop moments of the task to do that kind of stuff. So I do feel like it's being respected, but I feel like the reason why it's being respected as well is because, I'll tell you straight, they need people like us in media. They do. Yeah, the diversity, the personality we bring, the story we bring. We come from such hard-working backgrounds, or we come from such stories that your average person won't get. So I definitely think the respect is increasing. Are we where I want it to be? 100% not. And I'm not talking about in the industry of The Apprentice. I'm talking about in other scenes that I've seen, maybe in the music scene or whatnot. But we are definitely getting there. And that is definitely one thing.
Yeah, I saw as well, like, you on all of the episodes, from the first episode, to be honest, that you brought so much elements of the Punjabi culture onto the TV, which was just amazing. Like, you know, doing, whether it was like Bhangra or whatever you were doing, brought so many elements, which is really cool. How did like the other housemates all react, or the other candidates. I say housemates because like you were living with them as well. But the other candidates, like, how did they react to you kind of bringing those elements? I know there was obviously a couple other Punjabi candidates as well, but not all of them were. So were they really accommodating to that? Did they love that? Like the dancing, they got involved?
Yeah, very good question, because I actually got a bit little story about that. Like, when I came into the process, you'll be very surprised, because a lot of people are from different backgrounds or in different areas in England. And a lot of the people there, they didn't even know what the Sikh religion was. They'll look at me and they'll think I'm Muslim, or they'll think, because that's the mainstream religion that a lot of people know about. And when we would have this conversation, I'll be like, no, I'm from the Sikh religion, and this is what we stand for, and this is what we are, and this is what our Punjabi culture's like. And they were surprised, and they were so happy to learn and know more about. I'll tell you straight, there was times where we were downstairs in the cinema room and we'd watch like documentaries about Sidhu Moosewala. And Trey, my brother, so he's my Nigerian brother, man. He's a top G, so he's a music producer himself. So he made the Body Groove song, the garage song that everyone always listens to.
He's on the show.
He's on the show, yeah. So he had so much love for it, and he'll always like sit down with me and we'll talk about it. We spoke about Sidhu, we spoke about old school producers and singers and rappers in the Punjabi scene. And everyone just loved it, and if something they came out of that process with, if it was nothing to do with business, they learned a lot about my religion and my culture. And that's why when the task one happened, where I'd started doing Bhangra, that was a last minute decision where I was thinking, I need to represent. And I did Bhangra in there. Task 5, we had to make an augmented reality game. So we had to make a game for 6 to 7 year olds to play when they're eating their cereal, they can scan the QR code and can play this game. And then we did a dancing one where the character will dance and then the kid starts dancing.
Yeah.
And one of the dances I did was Bhangra. And the kids were loving it. They were dancing and they were enjoying it. And then one thing that didn't get shown on Budapest, because obviously we filmed for 100 hours and you don't only get to see the hour of it. In Budapest, Paul, the Punjabi, Steve and Mora, I want to say, to sell wine, they were trying to negotiate with the customers. They were like, oh, I don't know. And Paul and Steve were like, okay, if we do this one dance for you, would you buy it? They were like, all right, go on then. They started doing Bhangra.
Yeah.
And then they got the sale of the wine. So a lot of these things that were happening, like we're talking people like Steve, who are not from that background, who will never think of a Punjabi or Bhangra, all that kind of stuff. They use that as a selling technique in a mainstream media platform because of me. because I put that across. And the representation was there, and a lot of people really respected it, and they just all wanted to get involved.
Yeah, definitely. And the impact that you've had on the show left you obviously losing 7 tasks, was it?
Yes, 7 tasks.
And by the 7th time, you've got yourself
got
out,
fired.
Right?
Got fired.
But obviously, Lord Sugar has obviously said to you to stay in touch with him.
Yes.
And obviously, Sims has asked you for Lord Sugar's number.
Yeah.
She's got a business idea.
Okay.
No, that's not true.
But you know, when it comes to the fact that he's asked you to stay in touch with him, or told you, I don't know how it works with him. But how does that make you feel, man? And how genuine is that situation?
You know what? It feels honestly amazing. And one of the things I said, and we were talking about it in the house, actually, when we're just chill around the house, people would be like, I'd say, people would just say, if Verdi doesn't win the show, when he gets fired, he's going to get the stay in touch. Like, Lord Sugar's going to say stay in touch to him. This show made me believe in manifestation times 1,000, because like they would always say it before it even happened, and then it happened again. And you can even see it, because at the end of the episode where I get fired, they go back to the house and the candidates go, oh, that's what Verdi wanted. Like, we knew he was going to say that, and you can kind of hear that. And what it means to me is that it means what I feel like he's trying to say is, look, Verdi, you're young, you got charisma, and you got potential. Right now, first of all, you've lost 7 tasks, so I don't know how I can keep you in. Second of all, there's potential in you, but right now I feel like you need to go and do a little bit more.
Yeah.
But keep in touch with me. And he's only ever said that, this is a bit of a fact, he's only ever said that to about 3 or 4 people since the 18, 19 years the show's been out. So that's 16 to 18 candidates per series, and there's been 18 series, and he's only ever said that to about 3 or 4 people. Mm. And in terms about how real it is,
but has he stayed in touch with those people?
Okay, so he's actually gone into business with one of them, and he's done some stuff with them. So with
and maybe he didn't want to lose the Sikh viewers.
And you know what it is. He's one thing about Lord Sugar, right? Wait, before I even go on and talk about that, in terms of him actually the legitimacy of him saying that. So I was thinking, like, okay, is this just something he says for the cameras or whatever? But when I came out, what I can say is, when he says it, he does mean it. And what I can also say is, if the moment's right, and if anything ever aligns, this might not be the last you see of Lord Sugar and I. That's the only really thing I can say about this kind of stuff.
So have you got his phone number?
I can't say. That's what I'm gonna say. I can't say.
He never said take my phone number.
No, he said stay in touch.
Yeah, stay in charge.
So if he's blanking me, I'm still staying in touch though. <isn't it? laughs> But honestly, my relationship with him was, I don't think, well, it did in the last few episodes, it showed justice, but he really liked me and I really liked him, and like we'll catch jokes. And like in the first episode, I'll be honest, he wasn't the biggest fan of me after being PM, the way everything went. But there'll be times where we're just like, it's like, you know how you like argue with your granddad and that, and like you have those kind of conversations. That's how it was. And like I'd say something, he'd laugh. Like he's a very hard guy to make to laugh in it. And sometimes I'll just say something to just kind of make him laugh. And like, but sometimes I'll try to drop a joke and he'll be so serious. So for example, there was a kitchen task and I go to him, I go, Lord Sugar. I was like, you know what, Lord Sugar, that task, I was in the kitchen. I was like, that's more time. I've been more time in the kitchen in that task than I have in the kitchen in my whole life. Thinking he'll laugh at me. He gave me the most serious look ever. And he goes, yo, like, what are you talking about? This is not the time. And then that's when I kind of like went back a little bit, because I was trying to show my personality as well as showing my business acumen as well. And
he also has to show his personality.
Of course.
To be fair, I have seen him, like the jokes and stuff. You can see that he likes to have a little bit of a joke as well. But in the boardroom, if we're going to talk just purely about the show, in the boardroom, it looks really tense. Like when you watch it on TV, like it just looks like everything is so tense and it really heated. Is it actually like that when you're on the show?
So it's actually filmed in a studio. So it's not actually in the gherkin that people think it is, but it's actually in the studio, and there's that production lighting, all the kind of stuff, and there's cameras sticking out of walls at the top and on the sides. There's actually camera people on the side. And it is as intense, if not, I'd say worse, because when you're in that actual boardroom, you lot only see 20 to 25 minutes. We're there for at least 4 or 5 hours.
Oh my God.
And we're going, and if you lose like me, you're there longer because he likes to dissect every little thing that happened in the task. Okay, you did that negotiation. Why did you do that? And what technique did you use? And why did you do that? Why couldn't you do this instead? Or when you went to go negotiate this, why didn't you do this instead? Stuff like that. So he goes through everything, right? For me, the first task, I found it intense and I found it hard because I was project manager and I was that close to getting fired. And a lot of people, I'm not sure people believe this, but as the task went on, because I kept on losing, I kept on spending more and more time with him.
Yeah.
So he got to know me and got to know him. And there was genuinely a time where I started to think I'm a boardroom like master. Like this is actually easy for me. I kind of knew the techniques because I'm a very like smart guy in the sense of I look at patterns. So I look at the way other boardrooms went and then I'll be like, right, how can I go to the next boardroom to kind of get myself out of a situation? Because not only I lost 7 times, I was in the firing line 4 times and I got out of it 3 times. So that's a moment where he could be like, you're the last 3 or you're the last bunch, you're fired. But he didn't say that to me because I kind of got used to it.
Yeah.
So I'll say it was intense, definitely, but I got used to it. Some of the other candidates, for example, Felicia and Rachel, that was the first time they got fired. And to be fair, Rachel was quite well, but I could see sometimes Felicia was a little bit stressed because that was the first time she was in the losing team. Mm. And she was like, whoa, like, how do I deal with this? Whereas I was there 7 times and I was chilling. I just knew what I was doing. I was just relaxing, man. So yeah, it is intense. It's intense.
So obviously each episode is like an hour. And I know that so much more filming, you know, you mentioned it as well, goes into it. So you might be filming for like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And it's obviously all condensed into an hour. So do you feel like the way it's edited, it's a little bit manipulated and people don't really get to see the true sides of people? It's obviously manipulated a little bit for entertainment reasons as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be completely honest about this because end of the day, being honest about this, it just opens the viewer's eyes as well. So we filmed for over 100 hours. So there's 2 teams that goes on. And think about it, like they're filming for that team and that team. So whatever hours they're in a day, double it already because there's 2 footages of them. And then we're filming, like you said, 3-4 days. When it comes to the editing, let's take it back to task one. When I watched that episode, if you're being honest with me, when I watched it, it's from what I remembered, it's not exactly like how it went.
Mm.
So when I was kind of getting shit for doing stuff or acting in a certain way, yes, whatever comes out of my mouth is all me, is 100% all me. That is not scripted. They don't tell you to go say stuff. But what's happened is like, say, I'll give you a very small example. In the morning meeting in Scotland, it looked like I wasn't letting anyone speak and I was just talking and I wasn't letting anyone give their feedback. But what it was just edit cuts for all me speaking. And when other people spoke, that was left out.
It looked like you were cutting them up.
Cutting them up. Mm. But that's not exactly what happened. But I get it. I really get it. Because BBC are trying to make a show. And it's not just a business show. It's classed as a business entertainment show. If we were doing everything perfect, nothing was going wrong, or like they couldn't tell the story properly, would it really be entertaining for people to watch?
Mm,
probably not. But they've got a job to do, which is to tell the story of the losing team. And they need to make sure the losing team looks like they lost. And whether that's through editing, and so be it. Do I have any complaints about it? Absolutely not, because don't bite the hand that feeds you. And it's given me a big opportunity and it's given me such a massive platform. And whatever I've come out of my mouth, that's on me. If it's edited to show in a certain way to make it more interesting, then fair play, because the game's the game, man, and I'm just one of the players. So it's all good. It's all good.
You got the opportunity to speak about it now, like
yeah,
out now.
Of course.
You're active and people know where you are now in terms of the show, but also where you're at in terms of your career.
Yeah.
Because you're obviously promoting the fact that you have other things going on now.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about that as well, because, you know, we spoke briefly about the fact that you have other things going on. What are the priorities for you at this moment? Because the last time we spoke,
yeah,
was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was to do with songs that you produce.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And then yeah, I obviously saw you get onto the Asia Network, yeah, as well, and doing radio shows a little while ago, which was, you know, really dope to see as yeah, well. So what's happening in your world in 2024 going into 2025 as well? Because I'm sure you've got a plan.
Yeah, so immediately we're going straight into my new business, which is a digital marketing agency called Aventus Social. So Aventus Social is a digital marketing agency, and our job is to empower brands to reach new heights through digital solutions. All of us being in the music industry, we know that more than anything, how important Instagram is, TikTok is, etc. But I want to help not just individuals, brands and businesses, whether you're an accountancy firm, a solicitor firm, you run an architect business, or if you're an individual brand. So I've worked with football players, I've worked with clothing brands. My job is to help them understand the importance of social media. And it might sound simple, but you've got to... It's crazy when I see some businesses not capitalizing as much as they possibly can through social media. And what we specialize in is content creation, social media management, SEOs, websites. Like, people don't understand when they make their websites, the way you make it from scratch, that's where they go wrong. You need to optimize that website as good as you possibly can, that when people look for, say if you're selling, I don't know, microphones, right? You want people, when they search on Google, microphones in Leicester or microphones in here, you want to be one of the first people that come up, or you want to get the exact keywords to make sure that when people search for it, you come up. And that's all by search engine optimizations. That's all about the ads you do, Meta ads, Google ads, the keywords you're using. And I've trained and skilled myself and done courses to make sure, and built a team around me to make sure I've got the knowledge to make sure other businesses can succeed. And I've actually got a very, like, I've never really said this before of how it all started. So this digital marketing actually came up like a, I wouldn't say not a mistake, but it came like out of the blue. So I've always been creative. I've always been in the music world. And my brother was doing a shoot for a football player. I'm not gonna say what football player is, but it's for a football player. And when I went to the shoot, the football player was there, and he goes, and I was doing the creative directing, so I was just kind of like, right, why don't we do this pose, or why don't we use this background image?
So was it Jamie Vardy?
I could never say, man. But yeah, so when we did that shoot, I was doing creative directing, and...
But he's in the championship now, isn't he?
I'm not going to say.
he's like pressuring. He's like trying to find out exactly.
But I love my football.
Yeah. We'll talk off camera about that. but yeah, so once we've done all of that, he goes, oh, really? Like, I really like the way you're styling. I really like the way you're telling me to do X, Y, Z. Like, I'm looking for a social media manager. Is that something you do? And at the time, it was not something I did. But I said, yes. And I'm like, yeah, I can do X, Y, and Z. And he goes, okay, cool. Write up a contract for me and write me up what your fees are and we'll do it. I went straight home, did research, what's the going rates, what's going on with this. And I didn't take advantage just because of who he is, of what money he makes. I'm charging what I'd charge someone who'd want digital marketing for a coffee shop or a professional football player. So I went home and I started researching the prices of digital marketing, social media management, and I just studied the game. Got a contract written up within 3-4 days, quoted it, signed and agreed. And I was like, okay, cool. And it's not, I had the experience, but now it's all about delivering for a client. And I did that. And I built his profile. We did creative directing together. I helped him get opportunities with different brands and stuff. And it was going well. And then other brands started coming through. They started, word of mouth, people started knowing that Verdi's doing social media. And they thought, cool, let's get on him and let's work with him. Clothing brands, aesthetic brands, just getting in, coming through, and I built a portfolio. And then actually when I went on to Apprentice, I was actually trying to do a Dubai events company. So say if you were to go to Dubai with like 6 people, I'll organize everything. The hotel, the flights, the tables, if you're going clubbing, the cars, like a whole package thing. It was like, that's what my actual business plan was, to launch Sugar. And my plan was to actually launch that post the show. But I decided to put that on a hold right now because the digital marketing agency was going higher and higher. And it's a more feasible and more productive for me to do, still being based in Leicester. The Dubai one, I would have needed to go out and back and forth a little bit. So I wanted to kind of stay local for now. So carried on going. And I'm going to release this agency as soon as I came out. I was like, I'm not going to do this Dubai thing. Literally the day I knew, I was like, I'm going to release this agency. And I started making my marketing plan for the Apprentice. and the marketing was being amazing. We're talking millions of views, impressions, brand deals. Boohoo contacted me for brand deal. Other brands have contacted me for collaborations, events, gigs. Has been going crazy, all due to marketing. And then I was like, okay, I need to set up my company. And then what I ended up doing was I like studying the game before I get into it. So I started studying the game. And what ended up happening was I booked, I'd say, 30 to 35 consultations with digital marketing agencies. Why? Because I wanted to know everything about it. I acted like I own a coffee shop. I acted like I'm a actor. I acted like I'm an influencer. I wanted to know every single industry. Then I know what they charge, what they offer, and what type of services they do. Just then, when I offer my pricing, I know I'm either industry standard or just above because of my quality.
I was about to say you're going to cut them short, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, that's one thing I don't do, actually. To be fair, you know what? That's one thing I don't do, and especially because of who I am coming from, what the show I am, people are respecting me, low. So you got to... People, like, I remember I was in Essex the other week at a party, and very successful businessman. I was speaking to him, and he was saying this, and I've always had this value. He goes, always understand your value and keep that value, because reducing that value, we see it in the music scene all the time, like undercutting or like doing DJ gigs for £30 or in the drink or a bottle. Give me a bottle, I'll do the gig. Do you get me?
Oh, I got pain. Yeah.
It's the worst thing ever.
It's the worst thing. And it's hard for us because then when we're charging X amount, they're like, oh, so-and-so is doing it for a bottle.
I see it.
Then just go and get there.
Yeah, go get
them. I see it at the soccer show.
Yeah.
And I keep it 100 every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can.
Yeah, of course.
And I see TikToks afterwards of people moaning about the DJs at the soccer show.
Yeah.
And when I see that, it frustrates me because I think, you got a big Canadian artist that's got a heat on him coming to the UK. The UK is not popping right now, right? When it comes to British Asian music. The least you can do is get the best DJs.
100%.
Like, that's the least you can do at this moment.
Yeah.
Or at least get people that have the heat on them to come and represent
course.
The thing. You get work out a deal with them, even if you can't afford it. Get the right DJs.
Yeah, what makes sense. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but that's going to create traction. And I saw it, and I saw TikToks of people laughing at the DJ's selection of music and how dead it was, all the mixing and stuff. And, you know, that's an opportunity missed, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. There's value to what we do, and people got to understand that. And sometimes it's worth, as an events organizer or as a promoter, taking a cut a little bit off your profit to making sure there's value on your show, because the moment you devalue that, next time people won't want to come anyway. So now you've missed out your profits from the next event. Whereas that first event, if you had maybe not made as much money, you can make more money the next time because that value was brought into that event. And that's exactly my agency. So I bring some sort of a value. And yeah, I ended up launching the agency, which is Aventa Social, and it's going well, and like with God's grace, and like it's just going to get bigger. So that's what Verdi Mazzaria is doing in terms of business. Whereas Verdi Mazzaria in the media and the music scene, new music to come. I'm looking to release a single this summer, and I'm actually looking for artists. So if you are watching this and you're a single rapper, email me or DM me. DM me at Verdi Mazzaria or email me at info@verdimazzaria.com and send me your work, because I'm looking to make music, and I'm looking to make UK rap, R&B, Afrobeat music with a hint, a bit of Punjabi, if it makes sense. I know it's all about representation, but at the end of the day, you don't want to overdo it. You want to make sure you make it subtle and take things from there.
Yeah, of course.
So that's what I'm doing in the music scene. And in terms of me as an individual as well, I'm looking to get back onto TV within the next 8 to 12 months. So there's talks going around, and you know what I mean, that's not the last you see of me in mainstream TV, because the journey of me in the mainstream show is just going to get bigger. So there's talks in that as well. So yeah, man, that's what I'm currently doing at the moment.
That's exciting. I feel like everyone's going to be really looking forward to your journey. Obviously, you know, it's pre-recorded, so you know like who wins and everything. We're not going to ask you who wins, don't worry. But obviously, you were with everyone. You saw everyone's journey in there as well. So for the people who are still in the show currently, who do you feel like deserves to really win?
Ooh, good question.
Or just tell us who wins.
Never. You know what? I'd say, as much as some people watch the show and they think, oh, who are these idiots or who are these silly people?
Yeah.
Every single one of the candidates this year have very strong businesses or come from a strong business background or intelligent in the business field. So I feel like anyone could have won this year, genuinely. And I would have not been surprised. I would have been like, okay, cool. Makes sense. I've got people that I'm closer to. So the people from this season, from the boys that I'm really close to is Phil, Jack and Paul, the dentist. They're people that I really connected with, and they're people that I really respect as well. And for the people that are left in the show, so Phil and Paul are the two people there. Let's just say I'm rooting for them because I know their story. I know where they've come from and I respect it as well. Phil's a family man and he's got two amazing kids, his wife as well. And like he puts a lot of what he does and he thinks about his family first. And I really respect about that. Paul is only 30 and he runs a very successful dental practice. So I respect that as well. And I was 24 at the time of filming the show. And like they were looking at me like, oh my God, you're killing it for a 24-year-old. Mm. But the competitive side of me was like, and this might sound a bit mad, but I'm like, I want to be there though now. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And like, but I use it as motivation. It's not more like how some other people are like, oh, you know what? Like they're like that and like looking down on them. I'm more like, I'm inspiring to be like that. And the fact that I'm on the same platform competing for the same thing as well as these guys were, I feel like that's a big, like, massive thing for me anyway as well. So
no, honestly, like, we're really looking forward to everything. And yeah. I feel like now that you're off the show and, you know, we're really looking forward to your journey outside of the show, but I'm gonna ask you like a quick fire round, just of like a couple questions, so you can answer them as quick as you can. That's the whole point of
okay,
it
okay,
there's
okay,
no
okay.
time, but just answer them as quick as you can.
Can I say pass?
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. But it's nothing. I'm not going to ask you who won the show, don't worry.
Yeah, all right, cool. Imagine it just slips out.
Okay, so who is your best friend from the show?
Phil.
Okay, what's the best thing about The Apprentice?
Opportunity.
Worst thing about The Apprentice?
Tiring. Mentally draining.
Did anyone not get along living together?
No, we all got along.
And if you had to describe Verdi Mazzari in three words, what would they be?
Ambitious, relentless, and fun.
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. That was a good answer.
Yeah, that's not bad, to be fair.
You know what? It's been a pleasure having you up on the building.
For sure.
To talk about your career, your situation at The Apprentice, which, again, doesn't define you, in my opinion. It's just the beginning of the next chapter in your life.
100%.
And we're really excited for 2024. When it comes to Verdi Mazzari, my bro.
For sure, man. I want to say thank you guys for having me on. And like, it's good to have people like you guys. Like, end of the day, like you said, we've been family for a minute now, innit? So to have you guys supporting and just giving me some sort of platform to continue with, really appreciate it. And it's been a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed it.
Well, really looking forward to everything. Thank you so much.
For sure, man. Nice one, guys.